This is CJLO News. An artist in NDG has created a coloring book filled with iconic locations and scenes and characters from around the borough. It's called Lights Out NDG, and its creator wants people to notice the little details about the neighborhood they call home.
Community focus has always been really big for me. I come from a small town, and NDG is kind of its own small, like, town community kind of thing. And so we really wanted to, like, focus on that as well. And my passion being interior design and architecture along with art, I was like, oh, I could combine those things and make, like, a coloring book of NDG famous places.
That's Joni Glam, an artist based in NDG. She's illustrated multiple children's books for different writers in Montreal. She's also made adult coloring books and written and illustrated books and comics about her experiences as a trans woman living in the city. But Glam's latest project isn't for adults or children specifically. It's for anyone who calls NDG home and might recognize these little scenes.
I was able to bring in, like, the photos of NDG that people sent me, or I was able to see on my own walks, and then implement kind of people that I know, characters that I know, tell stories through them as well. There's about 10 scenes in the first volume of like really iconic places in NDG.
The coloring book features local businesses like Homer's Donuts, quirky locations like Alley Cat Alley, and even has some fun characters, including the NDG Train Man.
And when I was trying to come up with the title, I was like, well, this is going to be great for when the power goes out. NDG is so notorious for its power outages. So I was like, this will be a great thing to do when the power goes out, or to, like, promote when the power is out and stuff like that. So I called it Lights Out NDG.
NDG is known for having frequent power outages. Hydro-Québec explained back in 2023 in a press release that this was due to old infrastructure and older trees, which can come down on power lines. Just another bit of characterization for a neighborhood Glam says deserves attention and appreciation. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Good Tuesday morning, you're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy, and on this week's episode for 495, it is our anniversary review of The 7-Year Itch, celebrating its 70-year anniversary. Out for DVD Tuesday for May the 6th, you would have The Seed of the Sacred Fed, which arrives out onto a physical release. You also have Untold Shooting Guards. This is a biographical documentary arriving out onto Netflix. Let's get to some music to get your morning started here. I have Eliza Nimi with Dusty off of the album Progress Bakery. You're going to hear Destroyer with Dance Boogie off of the same titled album. And then we're going to hear Lucy Dacus with Ankles off of her album Forever is a Feeling. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
I'll let Eliza do the intro.
I was up all night reading your old articles, like when the light shines on slow dust particles. The water shocks me, Smells like missing you in here. But I'm detoxing, easy breezy, clean and clear. You sing Toronto as I look into your eyes, while you watch him so low.
check out a horse's ass. It's not bad, it could be worse. You've been looking for a way out. What is that? Wrap yourself in paper, be gone. You open sesame for a lousy bug. Singing the blue one line. Lost in the lighthouse, you're lost at sea. That's my mystery.
What if we don't touch? What if we only talk about what we want and cannot have? And I'll throw a fit if it's all I can do, if it's the thought that counts. Let's think it through. So bite me on the shoulder, pull my hair, and let me touch you where I want to. There, 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 there. Pull me by the ankles to the edge of the bed, and take me like you do in your dreams. I'm not gonna stop you.
Festival Bleu Bleu, presented by SiriusXM, is back for its 7th edition. From June 20th to 23rd, Carlton-sur-Mer will come alive with performances by Ariane Roy, Petit Beliveau, Clopel Gag, High Classified, Uri, Gus Engelhorn, Belly, Maggie Merlin, and many more. Don't miss the epic Beach Electro Night, the Artisan Market, the classic Mussels and Fries Dinner, the Water Skipping Tournament, and plenty other fun activities. Contact your friends and plan your Gaspé Z getaway. Tickets and details at festivalbleubleu.com.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of music from the dark side of the moon, an hour of Pink Floyd. It's Floydian Slip every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more at FloydianSlip.com.
Yeah, 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 this is CJLO. Won't you stay tuned for some more good music?
Right. Welcome back here, tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO, 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We get now to some of the new scores from cinema. We're going to hear David Longstreth with The Legend of Ushi, The Prelude. Then we're going to hear from Howard Shore, who has scored David Cronenberg's new film, The Shrouds, with the track Wrapped in a Shroud. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies, with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy. Canadian composer Howard Shore with his track Wrapped in a Shroud from David Cronenberg's new film, The Shrouds. Good morning, you're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. It is time to revisit a score classic here on At the Movies, and this week we revisit Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Score composed by John Williams. Since it was re-released inside theaters, I got a chance to catch up with Episode 2 on Disney Plus, and then followed it up the next day with a screening of Episode 3 for the first time. I watched it in theaters with a packed crowd to a much standing ovation when the John Williams score kicked in. So, we're going to hear John Williams with Star Wars, the main theme, and then the Revenge of the Sith opening. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Thank you. John Williams there with the score for Revenge of the Sith, with the main theme to Star Wars kicking it off. Good morning, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. It is time for your Cinematic Fridays for Friday, May the 9th. You have the limited release horror film Clown in a Cornfield. This one comes out this Friday, May the 9th. Also, check out your local listings to see what is coming to your local independent movie theater or to your big multiplex. Always support the local independent movie theaters here on At the Movies with Iconic Sounds. And now Danny joins me with a review of The 7-Year Itch from 1955, directed by Billy Wilder, celebrating its 70-year anniversary. Let's take a listen. On to today's episode, Danny and I will be talking about The 7-Year Itch from 1955, directed by Billy Wilder. So the film follows a man by the name of Richard Sherman. So with his family away for their annual summer holiday, Richard Sherman, Tom Elwell, a publishing executive, decides to live the life of the bachelor's life. The beautiful ditzy blonde, played by Marilyn Monroe, from the apartment next door catches his eye, and soon they are spending a lot of time together. Before we get to the time that they spend together, though, we can describe this film as somewhat of a screwball comedy. I can also describe it as a battle of the sexes. It's described as a romance film as well, too. What would you describe The 7-Year Itch as when it comes to the genre?
Well, there's some very interesting themes within the film. The themes such as temptation, addiction, guilt, and paranoia. It's a blend, actually. I mean, there's some drama and a mix of drama and a mix of comedy as well, actually.
Okay. I do not... Yes, I can see that there is some drama aspects as well, too. So before that, we get to the life that he's living, the bachelor life, with Marilyn Monroe's character of the blonde from his neighbor next door. I find that Richard Sherman's life and imagination run very wild, sort of like the husbands who run wild inside the summertime. So what's your opinion on to the husbands wandering wild inside the summertime?
Well, it ties into what I was saying about paranoia. And he was oftentimes you found him being afraid of specific outcomes that could potentially happen with the temptation he was facing with his beautiful neighbor.
Not only that, but his also imagination of the affairs that he's had. You know, like he imagines himself having his own affairs too. So the office life is peaceful, and he's trying to follow the doctor's advice of not to smoke, not to drink anymore. So those are the types of, advice that he's trying to follow by his doctor. But also he goes like deep inside of his thoughts sometimes, and he gets to have like these types of imaginative affairs, especially with one of his office colleagues too.
Yeah, that's precisely. Well, what you mentioned just before, it ties into what I was saying earlier about how addiction is a theme of the film, because he loves his cigarettes, but his doctor told him you should cut back, and he loves his booze. It looked as if scotch was his drink of choice, but.
And as well, too, he loves his eating habits as well, too, but he ends up at, like, a vegetarian restaurant that is unlike him.
Yeah, you could tell when he was at the vegetarian restaurant, he did seem kind of uncomfortable. He was just smiling it off, so to speak, like, this food is okay. I would probably rather have a steak instead, but my doctor said I gotta get healthier.
I feel that the book that he, because he's a publishing executive, so it's kind of fitting that the book that he's trying to read or get through, written by a doctor, is talking about repressing the urge of a middle-aged man.
That's and this is where the and once again with the paranoia factor, because when he was reading Dr. Brubaker's book about how after a middle-aged man tends to reach a 7 year of marriage, he gets bored and feels the need to have an affair, and he was feeling guilty about having urges. Once again, the guilt factor there. As he was reading the book, he just kept thinking to himself, oh my God, what if I end up like this? I don't like guys like this. They're very low class. I don't want to be like this.
No, exactly. And, you know, he kind of talks a little bit about, you know, repressing his urges, even though he has the imaginations. However, Marilyn Monroe's character does enter as the neighbor or the blonde from next door. The tomato plant almost kills him, but it manages to save him. And he starts having her around the house a little bit, and they even go out night on the town too. There's a type of magnetism that attracts her to these types of reserved characters, which Richard is a type of reserved character.
He keeps to himself. Another thing that we eventually realize about Richard is he's also insecure.
And I think that that's where his insecurities run havoc a lot with his imagination, including the fact that Richard imagines his wife's own infidelities with a person who she's spending a lot of time with while on to their summer vacation.
Well, Richard, he's a normal looking guy who struggles with shyness. So the question he kept asking himself is, would any other woman find me attractive other than my wife?
Exactly. How would you describe the relationship between Marilyn Monroe's character, the blonde neighbor, and Richard's character before we get to a commercial break here?
Well, they did seem to have more in common than one could imagine, and with that, they came up with really interesting conversations, whether it be about music or about the entertainment industry in itself, and yeah, they seemed to they were having a lot of fun as well.
I feel though that his own insecurities hinder the relationship with his neighbor.
Yeah, I would most certainly agree with that.
All right, so there's something that we can agree on. When we come back, we'll discuss more about the 7 year itch inside the anniversary review and what makes the film so iconic. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal.
Thank you.
At Cinema Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from John Talon Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. Le Cinéma Public for a lively cinema.
I once had a dream that I was eating a peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich, and let me tell you something, it was delicious. So the next day, I decided to make that sandwich. And in real life, it is disgusting. It is a disgusting sandwich. And the reason I tell you this story, pick up the phone, just...
Hi, this is Dreamscapes, and we want to eat that disgusting sandwich because we're a show about dreams, and we don't think that dream sandwich is disgusting at all. So, yeah, you should be calling us to tell us about your dreams and your dream sandwiches. And if you do want to call in, the number is 514-848-7471, and we're on CJLO Mondays at 4 p.m., And we don't think your dream is weird at all. It sounds really good, actually.
CJLO, the big sound in the big town. Ooh. 1690 on that AM dial. Far to the right on that dial. Far to the left in your hearts.
You know what she'd probably think? She'd probably think you were the plumber.
A blonde plumber?
Absolutely. She trusts me implicitly.
What's the matter with her? Doesn't she love you?
Oh, she loves me. You know, she worries about me. I had an awful cigarette cough, and she made me stop smoking. Oh, she loves me, all right.
Isn't she jealous?
Not really. Why should Helen be jealous of me? How can anybody be jealous of somebody with a briefcase? Who's getting a little pot? Who gets so sleepy by 9:30 he can't keep his eyes open? She trusts me. It would never even occur to her that I... Like last Christmas, I came home from the office party. I had lipstick on my collar. You know what Helen said? She said, darling... What's that on your collar? Cranberry sauce?
That's bad.
You know who kissed me? Old Mrs. Brady. Let's face it. No pretty girl in her right mind wants me. She wants Gregory Peck.
Is that so?
Well, isn't it?
How do you know what a pretty girl wants?
Well, I don't really know. But I imagine a pretty...
You and your imagination. You think every girl's a dope. You think a girl goes to a party and there's some guy, a great big lunk in a fancy striped vest, strutting around like a tiger, giving you that I'm so handsome you can't resist me look. And from this, she's supposed to fall flat on her face. Well, she doesn't fall on her face. But there's another guy in the room, way over in the corner. Maybe he's kind of nervous and shy and perspiring a little. First you look past him, but then you sort of sense that he's gentle and kind and worried. That he'll be tender with you. Nice and sweet. That's what's really exciting. If I were your wife, I'd be very jealous of you. I'd be very, very jealous. I think you're just delicate.
Welcome back. A clip from The 7 Year Itch opens us back up to our discussion of the film all these years later, celebrating an anniversary from 1955. All right, so we will now be discussing a little bit about the anniversary aspects of The 7 Year Itch. So it contains one of the most iconic popular culture images of Marilyn Monroe inside the film. And you probably saw it too, and you probably saw the iconic scene too, of the white dress standing over the subway grate.
Well, indeed, and that was after her and Richard had their trip to the cinema after watching what I believe was a monster movie.
Exactly. And I don't know if you remember this because I was with you. I think that we watched the movie Blonde with Ana de Armas, who plays Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I do remember that
And
as a matter
she
of
had
fact.
like a really tumultuous relationship with the baseball player played by Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah, the baseball
Anyways,
player.
that one scene there of that, it definitely rubbed Joe DiMaggio the wrong way, and he really didn't like that scene inside particular.
I was gonna get to that. As a matter of fact, it was indeed Joe DiMaggio who she was married to at the time, and yeah, he was not apparently he was not thrilled about that iconic scene in that movie.
However, 1955, this film was very progressive for its time, and Billy Wilder talks about this too, about the moral restrictions that what can be shown inside of movies and not. And we did talk about, another anniversary film that had to deal with these moral codes, doing like the romance, of It Happened One Night too, that they had to deal with the moral codes inside of films as well too, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's my big takeaway from the film inside general that I reviewed the film as. So I feel that it's like Richard Sherman's one-man monologue on his own male insecurities and inabilities as a type of manifesto for the male archetype. I don't know if I'm hitting that, but that's how I feel that the film is.
I have to agree with that. Well, it seems like a lot of men when they see a beautiful woman like Marilyn Monroe, for example, they oftentimes ask themselves, would she find me attractive or would she be interested in me? And no, the character does touch upon those insecurities that a lot of men do struggle with.
There's also the type of take a chance on the quiet guy in the corner of the room, which Richard Sherman is kind of like that. And Monroe feels that she gets more, out of the quiet guys inside the room standing in the corner, rather than a married man or the ones who automatically just lust after her.
No, she exactly. She pretty much mentioned to Richard that the type of guy that he is, she actually does find interesting.
Now, this is going to be very controversial given the film's nature, but I definitely want to ask this question for you because it's been
Sure.
weighing on me a little bit. Richard Sherman and his character have a wild imagination that sometimes goes to the extremes. So here's my question to you. Did Monroe's character of the blonde neighbor really exist, or was it only inside Richard's imagination to fulfill his insecurities about life?
Oh, that's a really good question. I didn't even think about that, but no, I personally think she was real. But
I do too. However, that question I feel is important when discussing this film, given the fact that Richard has a wild imagination, that it could have been just a manifestation of his own imagination and his own insecurities as a husband and a male. However, at the end of the film, he does take it apart from him to rise up to those insecurities, even though, he does have an altercation with the gentleman who his wife was spending all that time with on vacation, even though it wasn't the case. It was his own insecurities running wild.
Yeah, it was his own insecurities running wild, and it was his paranoia getting the better of him. The paranoia factor. I mean, when he almost kissed Marilyn Monroe, that he was thinking to himself, "What if people in the building find out about that and tell my wife or the tall, handsome guy his wife was hanging out with? What if they have an affair?" Yeah, no, he was struggling with a lot of what ifs. so to speak.
Yeah, I will let you have the last word onto the 7-year itch here as we conclude this anniversary review.
Well, going back to the themes I was talking about, addiction, temptation, guilt, and paranoia. Well, in terms of our addictions, we're tempted to do certain things. Well, let's say, for example, if you like to indulge in alcoholic beverages every now and again, and you try to cut back, but you find yourself caving into that temptation. What ends up happening? You're feeling guilty. You feel guilty after that, as Richard ended up feeling guilty for caving into his temptation to drink and smoke again, and he felt guilty for having the hots for the Marilyn Monroe character. And yeah, no, it's with the paranoia. I had mentioned what he was paranoid about before. And as far as insecurity goes, he was, like I mentioned before, he was wondering whether or not any other woman beside his wife would find him attractive. And when Marilyn Monroe's character said, "Yes, I would find you attractive," that was a good boost to his ego. And that's when he had that answer given to him, he was satisfied. So with all the themes that I mentioned before, let's put it this way. I think it's a great film, because Richard's character is a very relatable character, and overall, it just the movie in itself reminds us what it means to be human.
Very well put, I feel. Very well put, and I think Thank that being human rectifies my answer to the fact of, even though I do question, I don't know if other film critics have questioned about the character Marilyn Monroe, was it a manifestation of Richard's own insecurities inside of his imagination? But when you're saying the word human to me, I feel that, yes, her character actually did exist, and she was human inside of the film. So that is going to do it for the 7-year itch. It's getting a thumbs up from me. I'm sure that it's getting a thumbs up from you. And it is nominated, in fact, for our anniversary award show at the end of the year. And yeah, up next, on to next week's episode, well, we have another anniversary review film that we're going to be reviewing all these years later. From 1985, Danny and I take a look at Dead Man Walking, starring Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn, directed by Tim Robbins. That'll be on to next week's show. Thank you for joining me for this episode today, Danny.
Thank you for having me, Rami. It's always a pleasure.
And we'll see you next week. And as always, bon cinema.
Bon cinema.